This episode sponsored by Apollo Neuro.
Having problems getting a good night's sleep? Apollo Neuro may be the help your body needs. Apollo Neuro is a wearable designed to calm your nervous system so you can fall asleep faster and sleep deeper without medication or side effects. It works by sending gentle, silent vibrations through your wrist that signal safety to your body, like a hug for your nervous system. The result? Fewer wake-ups, deeper sleep, and mornings where you actually feel rested. It's not just a sleep tracker. Apollo actively helps you regulate your body, and Smart Vibes AI automatically personalizes the experience for sleep, calm, focus, and recovery. It's scientifically backed, with clinical trial participants gaining up to 60 minutes of sleep a night. Try it risk-free for 30 days. Visit apolloneuro.com/audio and take $99 off today.
This episode sponsored by Apollo Neuro.
Having problems getting a good night's sleep? Apollo Neuro may be the help your body needs. Apollo Neuro is a wearable designed to calm your nervous system so you can fall asleep faster and sleep deeper without medication or side effects. It works by sending gentle, silent vibrations through your wrist that signal safety to your body, like a hug for your nervous system. The result? Fewer wake-ups, deeper sleep, and mornings where you actually feel rested. It's not just a sleep tracker. Apollo actively helps you regulate your body, and Smart Vibes AI automatically personalizes the experience for sleep, calm, focus, and recovery. It's scientifically backed, with clinical trial participants gaining up to 60 minutes of sleep a night. Try it risk-free for 30 days. Visit apolloneuro.com/audio and take $99 off today.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Coming to you live from a podcast where we talk about things that we did this week and not a podcast at all about Rick and Morty. Yeah, it's April 1st. What's that have to do with anything? It's Apathetic Enthusiasm. I never do that. I don't know if I've ever done that. Have I ever done that?
I don't know if you've ever done an intro to the music.
I think I have. I think there was a period back in the early 2020s, maybe.
In the early days, yeah.
Yeah, where you were not available and I had to like do an interdimensional RSS by myself. I think there are like two interdimensional RSS solo bolo podcasts.
Yeah.
Where the other host wasn't available. And we were like, we still got to do it. It has to happen. Mm-hmm. The show must go on.
Yeah.
Not our best episodes, but
no.
I mean, we did it.
Not our best episodes at all, but hey, we did it. We did it. We moved on. We made it through. And yes, fair listener, this isn't interdimensional RSS. I know you don't believe it, but better believe it. This is Apathetic Enthusiasm. And because this is Apathetic Enthusiasm, we have a couple of things for you today. We've got some really good content, really great discussion ahead of us. But first, housekeeping, as they say, please go out to our social media at Apathusiast, @apathetic_enthusiasm, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com, facebook.com/apatheticenthusiasm. You can check out the show on YouTube, youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. He's at Juggle Mino, I'm at Barnyard Cruise, and together we make up Apathetic Enthusiasm. That's right, the show.
Oh yeah, brother.
The show that comes to your ear holes and leaves out your buttholes.
As it always has. Did we tell people that my name's Travis and your name's Brandon?
My name is Travis and your name is Brandon. April Fools, I'm Brandon.
April Fools. Bow, 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 bow. Yeah. April Fools. You know what's the best part about April Fools? Mm. I just closed the tab with our show notes. That's the best part of it. Yeah, well, welcome everybody. Welcome to Apathetic Enthusiasm. So glad you're here. I really hope there is like a 1% of our audience that was thrown off when they started an Apathetic Enthusiasm episode and they heard interdimensional RSS music.
Yeah.
Like that is a niche joke for like three humans on this planet, I think. And I'm so happy. I'm so happy for you. But yeah, it is April Fools. Yeah. So we're recording on a Wednesday, you know, because we totally and completely planned this in advance. We had no scheduling conflicts or work-related things that got in the way of us scheduling our podcast on time.
No last-minute cancellations when somebody says, yeah, you ready to record? And the answer is yes. Give me 10 minutes.
This is only the third time this week that I've walked back to my walk-in closet to start recording and then been like, oh, maybe it'll happen. Third time's a charm. We'll see.
I did think about, there was a part of me that was like, you know, maybe we should skip tonight because, you know, there's a presidential address. We should probably watch that instead.
Yeah, as informed citizens, we can probably watch the synopsis later. I do want to say up front before we get into the actual content, we have very loud thunderstorms rolling through my part of the country at this very moment.
I don't hear them.
Well, that's great. But if this episode suddenly ends, almost with no explanation, no outro. Thanks for watching, everybody. Yeah, it's probably because I lost power.
Yeah.
And you know, we're doing our best.
I think I saw a flicker. I think I just saw a light flicker in your house. So
all right. That also may have been the Rick and Morty anime neon wall art that I have in here.
That's probably what that was.
It's probably not. It's probably not, but it could be. All right. Well, it is April Fool's, as we've stated, and Brandon and I have a bit of a tradition on April Fool's. I like April Fool's. I didn't really participate heavily this year. I didn't get any gotchas, any tricks on anybody too much. My oldest daughter, Allie, played some good pranks on my wife, Sheena. Sheena was going to bed last night, and Sheena and I are different people, right? It's two sides of the same coin, as they say. But I'm the type of person, I have a scheduled bedtime in my iOS apps. My phone notifies me when it's time to go to bed. I have a scheduled wake up time like almost every day, that so I don't set alarms, right? When I go to bed, like it's already done.
Yeah.
It's done. Sheena, on the other hand, she goes to bed, she opens the clock app, she sets her alarm every day. And this was the fatal flaw of Allie's plan, because Allie had gone in and set all these different alarms for throughout the day and turned them on so that Sheena's phone would have just kept going off at random times with alarms throughout the day. But she caught it. She caught it early. She caught it last night. She also tried to put like tape on a faucet. I don't know that it worked, but you know, did you have any pranks, or were you pranked or anything, any gotchas today?
No gotchas on the cruise front. Dexter is not here. He is in the Northeast for a eighth grade class trip. Chelsea, I saw her this morning. I hung out.
Which is astounding to me, by the way, that I don't know what kind of fancy California school you go to, but going all the way across the country on a school trip, I didn't do that. I guess people in my school did do that, actually. I was just poor.
Yeah. My dad said, you know, Chelsea, Brandon, you guys are such good parents. I wish I could have done that for my kids. And I was like, you know, Dad, I'm right here.
yeah, I wish you could too, Dad.
You should just say, yeah, Brandon, I'm sorry you couldn't go do those cool things. That's what he should have said. But what he said was, it sucks I couldn't send my kids, but I'm glad they didn't go. Because
cool. Have you heard? heard from?
Yeah,
from the boy.
I talk to him all. I talk to him all the time. The boy. Talk to him all the time. He sends Chelsea and I pictures. We share texts. It's cool. Wow. It's cool having
modern technology. It's amazing.
Yeah. Amazing. He did get his wallet stolen, so that's good. Well,
In a subway mugging?
No, not officially. Oh. Not officially stolen, but lost. And so he texted.
It's the unofficial stolen wallet of interdimensional RSS.
Yep. Yep. So here's the story with that. So he texts us that he lost his wallet. And like, oh, okay. Like what happened? Where'd you lose it? It's like, in my room. Okay. So like you got back to your room and you lost it? He's like, no, I left it in my room all day. Because the teacher said like, we didn't need to take our wallets today. So like, I could leave it. So I left it on the dresser. Okay. So you looked all around the hotel room and you couldn't find it. Yeah. And my two roommates helped me look. Couldn't find anywhere. And you're back, you know, all the standard things. You look here. All the while we're thinking, okay, yeah, you got robbed. You got your shit robbed out of the hotel room by room service. And he's like, such a good kid. He's like, because there was $200 in there for him to spend across over the week, right? He's like, I'll pay you guys back. I'm like, that's sweet. That's very sweet of you. But no, the answer is no. We don't need your money. He's got money in his like little bank here. Right? He's like saves cash.
Yeah.
Like we don't need that money back. That's okay. Life lesson learned. Fucking hold on to your money, and don't leave your wallet in hotel rooms. And really, that's a life lesson for everybody. Don't trust room service because and you know what the shame is that it's universally accepted that, hey, don't leave valuables in the room that only a handful of people can access, including you and room service. Because if something goes missing, there's nothing we can do about it. We have no idea who works in this building. It's just gone, right? That's absurd to me because everybody knows who goes in the rooms to clean it. So if I call the hotel and I say, my son's wallet was there. His wallet is no longer there, and it was there the entire time. The only people who could have gone in there are probably monitored in the system that you use to make new keys and see who enters the door at some point in time. Give me my money back.
Meanwhile, the two eighth grade roommates are like, here's the deal. It's the perfect heist. What we do is
but to that point, Chelsea did say, Dexter, by the way, because also kids can steal too, obviously, she said, maybe ask your roommates again if they've seen it or if it accidentally fell into their luggage, because accidents happen.
So
anyways, he learned a valuable lesson about.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
It's a shame for the money that we gave him to spend. But
mostly.
But thankfully, before he left, Chelsea was like freaking out. She's like, what if he loses the money? What if he runs out of money, right? Like, what then? And I was like, okay, Dexter, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put my credit card on your phone for Apple Pay. Do not spend money on that unless it's an emergency. And he's like, I won't. I'm like, okay. I will know if you spent money on that this thing, right? And I don't think he would, but I was like, this is not for everyday use, right? This is for emergencies. And then his wallet got stolen. So now he has my credit card. And so Chelsea's
now
like,
he's just riding the American Express through mm-hmm. that city, just spending left and right.
Yeah, man.
Just whatever.
I don't know how we got access to the champagne room at the Spearmint Rhino in DC, but hell, it's on there. He did send us a picture of a new hat he bought. So you know. Is what it is. Whatever. As long as he's enjoying himself.
It was an emergency hat, Dad. Yeah. It was an emergency hat.
It's just too sunny up here, Dad.
All right. Let's get into our April Fool's game. Typically, most years, I will take April Fool's gags that usually big companies try to pull off on April Fool's. And then I will sprinkle in some made up April Fool's in a game we like to call something different every single year. This year, we're going to call it Real Foolish. The game where you decide if it's a real April Fool or a foolish, a fake one. So I have six April Fool's pranks. I did not make up any of these. AI is stealing our jobs. And so upon Brandon's suggestion, I used an AI tool. we used about 80 gallons worth of water to power this bit. But yeah, so I will read each item aloud to you.
Okay.
And there are six total. You get 1 point for a correct guess. And again, these are all going to be April Fool's pranks, but only three of them are real April Fool's pranks. Man. Three of them are fake.
Okay.
So
I'm ready.
Starting
man.
Off from Apple, the iRing, a smart wearable ring that replaces iPhone gestures. Tap your knuckle to unlock, flick to change apps, and use Siri by winking. Is that real or made up?
I love. I don't like April Fools, but I like this game with you. So I will say that is real foolish, or no, fake foolish.
Yeah, that's a fool. That's made up. Correct. One correct for Brandon.
Yeah.
And of course, play along at home, everyone. Let us know your score. Leave it in the comments.
By the way, the iRing thing, the reason I'm saying that's fake foolish is because that seems like something that Apple would actually come out with. It seems real, not a fool thing. Like, so anyway.
Next up we have from Traeger, the Meet AI grilling glasses. These are AR glasses that scan meat and recommend AI-driven grill settings in real time. So these are like Meta AI glasses, but they're the Meet AI grilling glasses.
I love this. I would say that's real foolish.
That is real foolish. Nice. That is Traeger released some promotional material for their Meet AI grilling glasses today. 2-0 on a roll here.
Yeah, I'm this better than I usually do.
Next up from Nike, we have the Air Garden. Grow your own sneaker kits with biodegradable soles that sprout grass and mini flowers after 30 days. The Air Garden.
That's a tough one. I'm gonna say it's real foolish.
That is fool. Foolish.
Oh, damn.
That is
damn.
Made up. That is GPT's take on a Nike April Fool prank.
The reason I went real foolish was like, it is such a a leap from garden to shoes that it's like, why would you put those two things together? Good job, AI. You tricked me.
Yeah. Gotcha. Up next, from Philips Hue, this is the Party Aware Floor Tiles, modular floor tiles that light up and pulse to music, detecting people's dance moves for custom lighting effects.
That sounds, I wouldn't be opposed to that being a real thing.
Elaine dance from Seinfeld, where she's,
I'll say real foolish. That wrong again?
That is real. Hey. That is real. Phillips Hugh with a real foolish. So you are 3-1. Ooh. You're doing great. You can't lose this game at this point.
Yeah.
You can only tie. all right. Up next, from Starbucks, the Bruins news. In-store nap pods that brew a personalized espresso shot exactly when your 20-minute power nap ends.
these ideas are good. These are good fucking ideas. Like,
we need to go to market with these things.
April Fool's Day is full of good ideas nowadays. Like, they went from like being like absurd ideas to be like, that's a good functional idea. Because I love a coffee power nap. I'm gonna say it's real foolish.
That is a fool foolish. Made up by AI. Okay. Yeah.
All right. You just went the ABABAB with this.
I didn't even decide the order of the questions. ChatGPT did all of this.
Fucking GPT.
I literally gave it a prompt that was like, come up with fake. First I fed it a website of real April Fools. Then I said, create a game where you take the three fake April Fools ideas and three of the real ones. And I have to make my co-host guess which ones are real and fake. Like it, it's okay. Last one.
Okay.
We obviously know, based on process of elimination, but this is from Fortnite. Big head mode. A new limited time mode that enlarges player head models for wacky gameplay and bonus emotes.
Yeah, I would have guessed real foolish on that one. Because that seems like something that Fortnite would do.
And they actually did do that. So my son was playing Fortnite only about an hour and a half ago, and he had a big old hit. He got second. Somebody must have headshotted him.
But you know, here's the thing. It's not really an April. Well, I guess it does count. It does. It counts, right? Cause it's like, this new mode is going to be there long-term, but usually those things last a day. I know League of Legends did something like that, where it's like everything was turbo and then they turned it into like, they actually had it as a mode for a while. Anyways. I don't have anything else to talk about with that.
Okay. One thing you mentioned about like April Fool's gags, creating actual ideas. I was going through looking for April Fool's things earlier, and Brahms is a very popular fast food restaurant in Oklahoma. Brahms was like, it's like a local farm that opened up a bunch of, it's like a half fast food, half like market. Like they have like little grocery stores in them. And then they have a ton of ice cream. Like ice cream is their thing, right? So Brahms did an April Fool's gag that was like pickle ribbon crunch ice cream. And it was like a pickle flavored ice cream, but it was like a little fake container with like, it looked like ribbons of pickle through the ice cream. And I was like, oh, that's kind of clever and silly. All right. And then I'm in my email and I get emailed from a local ice cream store that I really like. I feature them, their sticker on my water bottle, Boomtown Creamery.
Boomtown.
Not a sponsor. But they do like custom ice creams and unique flavors. And they actually came out with a pickle sorbet today that was like a limited time pickle flavored ice cream that you could buy. I didn't pick any up. But
you didn't pickle any up.
But yeah, it's funny how that works.
Yeah, you know
those ideas.
I like pickles. Let's just get that out of the way.
Pickles like, great.
I like pickles.
Good old pickles.
I don't know.
Salty,
if I like,
low-cal.
Yeah, I don't know if I like pickles in ice cream or like. But when Wendy's had like the pickle shake, for Rick and Morty stuff, right?
Oh, I think I do like that stuff.
Oh,
I drank pickle juice when I was marathon training. I think I've had pickle flavored candy for the cramps. I think I've had like pickle flavored candies. I typically don't drink pickle juice on its own, but I have many in my family who do.
Yeah, you know, I've got the Morty's menu here, but they don't. The only thing they had was a. It doesn't have the
pickle frosty.
Yeah, it doesn't have the pickle frosty on this menu. That's unfortunate.
Over the holidays, McDonald's had one of their adult Happy Meals that was How the Grinch Stole Christmas themed, and they did pickle flavored shaker fries. I was all right with. I was all right with those.
I can get down with that.
My family actually strong-armed me tonight, as a matter of fact, to go to McDonald's because it's such high-quality cuisine. Actually, they just wanted to get the K-pop Demon Hunter adult Happy Meals, which had... So, all right. If you don't know K-pop Demon Hunters at this point, I'm not going to explain it to you.
Did you say kebab what? Demon Hunters?
K-pop Demon Hunters.
Cake pop.
You know what I'm talking about.
Cake pop. Cake pop hunters.
Demon Hunters. I actually did have a cake pop today too. From it's Starbucks. A cheat day. We're gonna call it a cheat day. Nap pods. These adult kid meals, they have shaker fries again. These are ramyun flavored shaker fries. So they kind of taste like ramen seasonings. I thought they were delicious. And I'm convinced McDonald's should just always have seasoned French fries as a menu option. It can't little paper bags and like a seasoning blend. You can stock those all the time. You have sweet and sour sauce. You can keep those on the menu and people pay extra money for them.
Yeah. Szechuan sauce.
So that's the other thing. The meal is a McNugget meal. Comes with two types of dipping sauces. One of them, very reminiscent to the that Szechuan sauce, the that from the Mulan promotion back in the 90s. I got to get more of that sauce, Morty. Certainly, no other show ever mentioned it.
Nope,
that I'm aware of.
Never.
Do I still have my sauce cup? I have my sauce cup still somewhere from that stupid.
Yeah, I've got the sauce cups.
It's not arm's reach.
So somewhere as well. But for more information about the sauce, check out the podcast, The Sauce, a 3-part series that goes on.
No, don't. Just listen to our podcast episode about the sauce.
Yeah, about us bitching about that podcast.
Yes,
stupid.
Link in the. I should do one of those links up. I don't think we had a YouTube at that point when we did that. Mm-mm. Gosh, we've done this for so long.
Yes,
Brandon.
We have. Speaking of doing this for so long, let's talk about that real fast, Travis. This is episode. I'm sure we've done 300 episodes already of this show, but this is definitely episode 299 as far as like the last 2 years as we've been keeping count. Actually. Episode 299. That means after this, we have one more episode till we hit the big 300. How fucking crazy is that, man?
That is really wild. Like, and we take significant breaks for this podcast. Since we started doing Rick and Morty podcasts, months at a time off from Apathetic Enthusiasm, it'd be really interesting to go back and try to figure out the data of how many podcast, like individual podcast episodes we've made between Apathetic Enthusiasm and Intermental RSS. But yeah, like to hit a milestone like 300 for this show, it says a lot about us. I don't know if it's good.
I don't know what about us,
but, but it says a lot. But it speaks it pretty loud from a podium. No, it's super cool. And it's something we love doing. It's a way for us to hang out and kind of just share what's going on in our lives and the things that interest us. I try to talk about Lorcana, not a ton, but it, you know, it happens. It happens. Yeah. It's going to keep happening.
Yeah. Shout out to John Kaufelt, who, he listened to our episode. He's like, I listen to your episodes every once in a while. I usually, drop out when Travis starts talking about Lorcana.
That's well, John, anytime you want to play, just hit me up and we'll get a game going online. I'll show you the ropes. It's really cool.
Interdimensional RSS. We're at like, as not including bonus episodes and stuff like that, we're at like 213. So like that's coming quickly onto the 250 milestone. Pretty intense, man. We've been doing a lot.
So many pods. And, thank you to anybody that still listens to them or even occasionally listens to them.
And this is the end of Apathetic Enthusiasm. This is our last episode.
Yeah, sorry. Never making it again. Never going to hit that 300.
April Fool's.
unless we have more scheduling conflicts, in which case, we won't ever.
Yeah, no, that's true. Who knows?
We should be fine.
We don't know what will happen between now and next week.
Can I talk about some actual sad news? I've been thinking about this week.
Yeah.
It's Lorcana the fact that
related?
This episode sponsored by Apollo Neuro. Having problems getting a good night's sleep? Apollo Neuro may be the help your body needs. Apollo Neuro is a wearable designed to calm your nervous system so you can fall asleep faster and sleep deeper without medication or side effects. It works by sending gentle, silent vibrations through your wrist that signal safety to your body, like a hug for your nervous system. The result? Fewer wake-ups, deeper sleep, and mornings where you actually feel rested. It's not just a sleep tracker. Apollo actively helps you regulate your body, and Smart Vibes AI automatically personalizes the experience for sleep, calm, focus, and recovery. It's scientifically backed, with clinical trial participants gaining up to 60 minutes of sleep a night. Try it risk-free for 30 days. Visit apolloneuro.com/audio and take $99 off today.
This episode sponsored by Apollo Neuro.
Having problems getting a good night's sleep? Apollo Neuro may be the help your body needs. Apollo Neuro is a wearable designed to calm your nervous system so you can fall asleep faster and sleep deeper without medication or side effects. It works by sending gentle, silent vibrations through your wrist that signal safety to your body, like a hug for your nervous system. The result? Fewer wake-ups, deeper sleep, and mornings where you actually feel rested. It's not just a sleep tracker. Apollo actively helps you regulate your body, and Smart Vibes AI automatically personalizes the experience for sleep, calm, focus, and recovery. It's scientifically backed, with clinical trial participants gaining up to 60 minutes of sleep a night. Try it risk-free for 30 days. Visit apolloneuro.com/audio and take $99 off today.
It's not, Brandon. It is convention related.
Oh,
and it's the fact that as of this recording on April 1st, we have still not been approved for our media press passes for San Diego Comic-Con, which has been a highlight for the last few years. Not just because it is a fantastic event where we get to go and cover a lot of things happening in pop culture, specifically Rick and Morty related, which is kind of our niche for one of our shows. But it's also an opportunity for you and I to just hang out and catch up and do things like that. So, the one silver lining, unless you're going to tell me that this is different, is it doesn't say we're denied yet. Just doesn't say we're approved. There are historical requests from the early days that straight up say denied. We were denied. The last 3 years it says approved, and then right now it just says it's like submitted. Is what I'm tracking. So maybe there's a chance, but if not, that'd be a bummer.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to plan a trip to a different convention, I guess. Yeah,
it is sad.
I'm gonna go to Gen Con.
No. I'll probably go to Dell World in Vegas this year. And really hawk our interdimensional RSS stuff.
Dell World? Did you say Dell World?
Huh? Yeah. Yeah, it's a Dell convention in Las Vegas.
Dell computers?
Yeah. You don't know?
Is the dude you're getting a Dell guy going to be there?
Yeah, and the guy from Subway.
All right.
It's hot down there in Vegas during that time. I'm going to remind me after we're done recording to send another email to, press_applications@comiccon.org, and get them to, hopefully respond to us. Press reg at Comic-Con.
Any movies or shows that you've consumed in the last week of note?
That's a great question, Travis. Dexter and I are watching Invincible, the final season of that show. It's going on. I haven't caught Daredevil yet. One, because I don't have
Neither have I. I need to.
I don't have Disney Plus access right now, so I will have to Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm catching up on some Golden Globes and Oscar winner movies. Not by choice.
From this last year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not by choice, but just like not because they're Oscar and Golden Globe winning award movies, but just because like, I wanted to see that. Let's check it out. So I don't know if you've seen the movie with Margaret Qualley and Demi Moore called The Substance. Did you watch The Substance?
I have not. No.
Okay. Do you know anything about it?
There is a lady in like middle age or something like that, that is like looking for ways to look younger or something like that. She is given some sort of quote unquote substance and then she like pod people's like a younger person or something. I don't know. That's what I picked up from the trailer.
Yeah. Okay, cool. That is the basic plot of the movie. So you've got it. It's weird. It's good. If you like looking at butts, old and young, you'll like the movie.
We don't discriminate.
It's very body horror-esque. It's a very Cronenberg, early Cronenberg style kind of like movie where it's like big on, like kind of like not gross out, but just like, it's like showing body and like things happening. You're like, it's kind of cringy or creepy. The whole like, middle-aged woman who's a star, and then she like wants to be young again. Like the metaphor is there, and it's what Chelsea and I both said was like, it's very admirable of Demi Moore, like to put herself out there, like in all her middle-aged beauty, and like to be so vulnerable, like this is what happens to the bodies, to women's bodies eventually. Right. To have that. And then juxtaposing that with Margaret Qualley's body, which is young, and I think there was some prosthetics, so I don't think it was all Margaret Qualley, but that's not the point. And then like seeing her butt constantly throughout the movie, like I think I know what her butt looks like more than I've ever known what my butt looks like, which is a positive, a net positive. I don't need to know.
Yeah,
I don't need to know what my butt looks like, but I'm just saying like, I know what her body looks like more than my body at this point in time.
So what you're saying is it's like a family movie.
Yeah. You should definitely watch it with your kids. especially your daughters. Don't watch it with your sons. Because they'll want you to leave the room. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, so it's a good movie for like the first three quarters of the movie. Then it takes like a very, very weird, I won't say exploitative, but like exaggerated turn. And like, then it's like, okay, I was talking to one of my friends slash boss yesterday about it. And he agrees, like, first three quarters of the movie, good. Like the metaphor was like there, like it was like the theme. It was really, really good. But then they lost it. It lost. And all of a sudden it turned into the directors are like, you know what I've always wanted to see? This blood everywhere. And I'm not giving anything away there, but it's just like, you know what? Let's just like get blood everywhere. And like, oh, let's do like kind of like weird camera angles and this and that. Like, oh, and it's, oh, this is happening. Oh, this is happening. Oh, it's like very avant-garde. And so it's just like, well, now the metaphor is lost in you just wanting to be like a avant-garde filmmaker.
Yeah.
And usually I'm like, I'm okay. Like if the whole movie was like that, that would have been one thing. Like, I'm a big David Lynch fan. Like if it's weird the entire time, cool. Yeah,
if it's consistent.
Yeah.
Sure.
But changing it at like the last tail end of it, I think that meant maybe like it cheapened the message of the rest of the film. Not that I didn't like that part at the end, but it just you missed the mark. You cheapen the rest of the earlier parts of the movie by like going this route.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah, I do. I do recommend seeing it just to see what it's about. But I mean, not unless you're not into body horror or Margaret.
Typically not. Typically not my thing.
Okay.
I don't think. Sheena put on a movie for us over the weekend. She has a book. She's a big reader. She likes reading some books. Mm. I can't say the same for myself. And a movie came out recently based on one of the books that is in her to be read pile.
Jurassic Park.
Very close. It's called The Housemaid.
Oh.
Sydney Sweeney, Amanda Seyfried. And this movie, we watched it. It's interesting because I think as a book, it's probably pretty good. like it's a thriller. It's not a horror movie, right? Mm-hmm. Little bit of like mystery aspect to it. Basic premise is, Sydney Sweeney's character is hired to be a housemaid in this wealthy family's house, and as a live-in housemaid, all of a sudden, once she gets the job, the mom in the house starts kind of just acting crazy, and then things unravel,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like a romantic relationship situation between like the husband and the housemaid, and then there's like a weird turn and things happen. And I was like, all right, like I kind of predicted the twist and I kind of like, but I respected it. I respected the twist. It gets dark. Like it gets like, there's some stuff where it's like, oh no, that's really awful. And there's actually kind of a little bit of body horror in the movie as well. But by the end of it, I was like, that's a really interesting premise. I don't know that this was a good movie.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like I not to hate on any of the actors or producers or anything. It just like ultimately like the execution of it, like it was fine. Like it was, I wasn't like, that's unwatchable, but I was like, there's a reason this wasn't up for any awards.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like 50 Shades of Grey, you know, like it's just, the book was better, you know,
I wouldn't know if the book or the movie was Dakota better. I haven't seen either.
Dakota Johnson, you know, like her jeans commercials, you know, it's all the rage. But you know, she's just not she's not a leading act. Anyways. Okay. Moving away from,
I've actually seen her in some, some decent roles.
Yeah, no, she's okay. She's okay. Yeah. But actually, so you mentioned the housemaid. I did not read the book. I did not see the movie, but I did read the Wikipedia to find out what it was about. So yeah, you talk about the twist. Like I know about the twist and stuff.
Did
like
you
that.
Read it while I was talking about the movie, or was this like?
No, I don't even remember why I looked it up. I saw something on social media that talked about it, and I was like, what is this whole thing? One, because like, Sydney Sweeney is like, everybody's like, she's everywhere and like, let's put her in things. And I don't think she's that great an actress, or I'm like, I'm not impressed by her in any way, shape or form other than her massive knockers. And that's only going to get her so far before she turns into Demi Moore. Anyway, so I looked it up. What is it about? Oh, it's a book. Okay, that's interesting. Okay, so oh, here's a twist. That's interesting. They are coming out with a sequel to that movie. I know there's a sequel book as well.
Interesting.
It has more to do with the housemaid and where she goes from here.
They kind of wink at a potential continuation of her storyline towards the end of the movie. So I can see where there is an avenue to continue that plot line and try it out.
I think I saw that Kirsten Dunst is going to be in it. Let's see.
It's in production already. Yeah,
The Housemaid's Secret, the sequel to the 2025 psychological thriller The Housemaid, is set for wide theatrical release on December 17th, 2027. Yeah, Sydney Sweeney returns with Kirsten Dunst joining the cast and Paul Feig directing for Lionsgate. There you go. I was right. Why do I know these things for movies I've never seen or never planned on seeing?
You've got your fingers on the pulse of the I don't know,
something
movies. I want to go see Project Hail Mary. Mm. I really wanted to go see it last weekend. We ended up being way too busy and having to do other things. We are getting into Lorcana Set Champs month. April is Set Champs for Winterspell.
Of course.
So, you know, I'm going to be busy. Lots of tournaments the upcoming weekends. But I really want to try and go see Project Hail Mary on the big screen. I've avoided spoilers for the most part. So I'm hoping I can get in and see it before I'm, you know, spoiled with anything else. So we'll see. We'll see if I can report on that. On our 300th episode.
Okay. On the video game front, I've been playing a new video game. I think it's been out a while now, but it's on Game Pass right now, which is why I started playing it.
Okay.
So I don't know if you know anything about the game Kingdom Come Deliverance. Have you heard anything about this game?
Nope.
Okay. So the sequel came out, Kingdom Come Deliverance 2. So I saw like some people at work were talking about a part two. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And like, I saw people saying really, really good things about this game. I went through this phase, right? You know, talking about Day of the Diver, a couple of other like Vampire Survivors-esque games where it's like, I don't need to play a AAA game where it's like long and it's drawn out and I play for days and just like binge, right? I want something small, like I can do it for like 20 minutes and then, okay, I'm done. Cool. Great.
Yeah.
So part two of this game came out and I'm like, I've heard good things. Maybe I'll put it on the queue. Oh, it's coming to Game Pass. Okay. I'll wait for it to come to Game Pass. The first one came out on Game Pass. I'm not going to play that one because I know the second one's going to come out pretty soon. And then, so I downloaded it and then it sat there and then I beat some other like shitty game. And then I'm like, all right, let me pop it in. And the basic plot of this game is it takes place in like the real world Middle Ages.
Okay.
And you are the like the knight of like a noble, like you're his like right hand man. And then you're going through the country, you're trying to stop a war or something like that. I don't know, there's some stuff. you get ambushed, and then like there's a whole story that like the opening aspect of the, I'm like, this is a good story. This is a good start to the story. A lot of it is cinematic. Like you're not doing a whole lot at the start. But then like, then you start getting into it and you're leveling up, and then you have like fishing and alchemy and blacksmithing and all these types of things. Right. And you're like, okay, that seems, yeah. Okay. Par for the course for a fantasy game. The combat is different. So like you play Elder Scrolls or any of those types of games and you're just like, okay, swing, press X. Okay. Keep pressing X. Okay, cool. Oh no, block, use your left trigger or whatever. Right. Oh, X, swing, swing. This one has a mechanic where like when you're swinging, you can do combos. And so you like on the Xbox, I'm sure PlayStation 2, like if you swing, you could like press right. And then like you start to swing from the right. And then when you swing to the right, since you're already on like the left side, then you'd swing from the left. But you could like swing from the right, use the right stick to like tap over to the right again. And so then you like go back and then swing from the right. And so it's like as you're sword fighting with other people, you're like trying to effectively sword fight the way you should be sword fighting, which is like block, parry. Okay, they're swinging from the left, so you know you want to be defending that direction. It's pretty cool. It's not an easy system necessarily, but I appreciate that it is more than just like press X as much as you can.
Yeah, just keep mashing it and slash your way through all the mobs. Yeah.
There's no magic, which I'm like, what's interesting is there's no magic in the game, but there's a lot of talk about like magic and monsters and stuff like that, which makes sense because you're in the Middle Ages, you're in medieval times, and they're like, they talk about like water goblins and people in the woods who are like monsters. And then like you meet these things and they're just people that people are like, that person killed my babies. And it's just like an old lady.
She's a witch.
Exactly.
How do you know she's a witch? She looks like one.
Exactly. So it's things like that. So the story's good. The mechanics are good. I mentioned alchemy and blacksmithing. This is going to sound really weird. But if you played like, you play like Minecraft, you play Terraria, you play or Satisfactory, you play these games and you're like, so you're working at home instead of working at work. Like you're doing like chores at home instead of, you're like, well, I'm not really doing chores because I'm playing a game. So the alchemy aspect of it is like, you have the recipe book and, you know, usually like in games, you're like, okay, the recipe is a flour, water, and blah, 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 or whatever it is, right? And then you press the button, it mixes. Now you have a potion. This one is you have a recipe book, and it's like, and you're at like an alchemy station. So there's a cauldron in front of you. There's ingredients to your right. There's like a mortar and pestle in front of you. There's jug of like spirits, wine, water, and oil. You've got little bottles that you can fill up with them. And so you're like, you know what? I want to make a health potion. And so you open the book and it's like, okay, turn the page to the health potion. Let's set up the ingredients. Okay. And it's like, put a bundle of marigolds into a pot of water. So you're like, okay, get the water, pour it into the cauldron. There's animation there. Then you reach over to the ingredients, get some marigold, put it into the cauldron. Then you lower the cauldron onto the fire. Let the water boil for one turn. So then what that means is there's a little hourglass over there. And when it's on the fire and it starts to boil, you turn the hourglass over, you wait for about 10 seconds. As soon as the 10 seconds are up, you lift the pot back up and it says, now add some ground thyme into it. So you reach over your ingredients, put it into the mortar and pestle, you grind it, pour that in. And it's like, boil it for one more turn. Like, do that. Then it's like, okay, then you can pour it. So then you grab a bottle from the side and then you pour the solution into it. And then the prompt is like, you made 3 potions. I'm like, yay. And then you level up like that with your alchemy skill. It's such a relaxing thing to do. Now, so that's the alchemy, right? And people are like, what the fuck, right? The blacksmithing is fun too, because you basically, you want to make a sword? Okay. So you have a piece of metal, you have a metal rod, you put it in the fire to heat it up. And so then like, and you move it across the fire to make sure that it's evenly heated. It's like, oh, okay, it's heated. And you press X and you check it, make sure it's evenly heated. Okay, cool, good. Then you take it over to the anvil. and Dexter's like, I look up and all I see is you on the screen go, king, king, king. And like you're hitting it with a hammer, it's sparking. And then it's like, oh, flip it over so you can get the temper even. Like, king, king. Oh, you know what? It's not done yet. It's cooling down, so I got to put it back in the heat, even it up again. And then, like, you do this a couple times, and then you heat it up again, put it in the water and temper it. And then you got yourself a sword. And I'm like, I want to blacksmith some more, you know?
Yeah. Now I got to go fight with this thing.
Yeah. Ugh. Meanwhile, what? I don't even know what the story's about, because I'm like, I just want to make more potions and blacksmith shit, you know. But it's good. It is a really good game, and I understand why people like it so much. What is it like when you're like engrossed in it or inserted?
Yeah, like it's immersive.
Yeah,
like,
immersive. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's very, very, very immersive. And you have a dog that you like, your little buddy dog that you have. You can ride horses
little,
and stuff like that.
Buddy dog.
Mm-hmm.
What's it? What did you call it? Was like
Kingdom Come Deliverance 2.
Holy, it's a $76 game.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you have Game Pass.
Oh, well.
I'm not
on the PlayStation 5. On the PlayStation 5, it's $76.
Jeez,
so until it's available for my extra. One thing that I discovered right before, it's kind of in this video games topic, and this has apparently been a known thing for about a week or so, but I just found out about it. I think you mentioned Minecraft. Mm-hmm. In terms of like, you know, doing chores and games and stuff like that. Did you know that they are coming out with a Minecraft theme park that is going to open in London at the Chessington World of Adventures in the UK in 2027?
No, is this an April Fool's thing?
It is not. I saw it today online, so I was like, this isn't real. And then I Googled it and saw news stories about it from over a week ago. And I was like, oh. This might actually be real. It's a decent size. I guess they're spending like $110 million on the project. But it is supposed to be a immersive Minecraft world that will have mobs that you can interact with. It will have a Minecraft roller coaster that is kind of like the mine carts in game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they do the scale correctly, like this is something that we've kind of been waiting on for 15 years. Like the idea that you could step into a Minecraft world. I think they're even designing the park itself in Minecraft so that it's like a 1-for-1 kind of, match, but I mean, you need a passport, you need to get over to the UK, but sounds really cool. Like, yeah. I'm being a theme park junkie already, seeing what they've done out at the Universal parks with the Super Mario lands and stuff like that, and Minecraft being just one of the biggest video games in the last 20 years. I think this is going to be really cool. I can't wait to see what it looks like and see how it comes together. So,
yeah. Maybe
I'll be able to afford to go to it by the time it actually opens in 2027.
That does sound really cool. I would be afraid of how many people get killed though from the creepers. Like,
that's fair.
You know,
and the people jumping off of really tall things thinking that a bucket of water will save them.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I can't wait to build my automated wheat farm.
I know. I would get in there and be like, all right, well, start punching some trees.
Sir, stop. You cannot harvest trees with your fists.
Can I dig straight down from here? Is that?
I'm not.
Just here for diamonds.
I'm not stopping till I hit bedrock. You know what I'm saying?
Every time. All right. I think that about does it for this week. Unless you have anything else lingering that you need to get off your chest.
No, sir. I think that should do it. Wrap us up, man. Wrap us up. Wrap up 2026 April Fools.
Yeah. Again, thanks to everybody for listening. If you're new here, several ways that you can support our show. If you're a podcast listener, rate and review 5 stars. Let us know what you think of the show. Let us know what your favorite April Fool's prank was. Giving us a rating can definitely help other people discover the show and helps us to grow. If you're over on YouTube, please like, subscribe. You can leave a comment. You know, let us know what you think. And then again, always sharing this with others on your social media is a great way to support us as well. Come back. Make sure that you're subscribed for the 300th episode. Brandon and I might spend more than 45 minutes talking about plans for that. Maybe we'll actually do something special. For
no
the
guarantees.
300th. No guarantees whatsoever. We may forget about it until 30 minutes before the show starts. But
yeah, I already forgot about it.
You know. If you've been here long enough, you know that's the case. So, but yeah, big thanks to everybody. Until next time, I'm Travis.
And I'm Brandon.
He's Brandon.
Thank you.
Bye. We survived the thunderstorm.
Yeah, we did.
We did it.
I love this music. Our apathetic enthusiasm music.
Hey, everybody. This is Rounding the Bases.
Rounding the Bases with Robbie and Matt.
I'm out.
Groceries are getting more expensive and somehow less fresh. If you're tired of throwing away wilted greens and overpaying for produce that doesn't last, it's time to grow your own. Meat Garden. It's a sleek, soil-free indoor growing system that does the hard work for you. Using automated light and water, Garden grows fresh, clean food in your living room or kitchen all year long. No dirt, no daily chores, no green thumb required. Stop planning your life around grocery runs. Just harvest what you need when you need it. Visit mygarden.com. That's mygardyn.com. Garden. Harvest happiness.